Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And in this half hour, very pleased to be joined by not only a guy that I think is an outstanding play-by-play guy, but also is, over the years has become a very good friend, Brian Barnhart, the outstanding play-by-play voice of Illinois football. And we'll get Brian in here in a few moments. And Brian, welcome. It's great to have you with us on the show.
Hey, it's great to be on with you. Steve Jones, thanks.
All right. Well, my good friend, let's get to this. Wes Lunt transfers in. I know there are high hopes for him. I know he's been hurt. But when he has been healthy, how good has he been?
Well, he's been very good, Steve. He came in, of course. He had been at Oklahoma State. He was a kid that played in the Illinois State title game a couple of times as a junior and senior at Rochester, Illinois, which is near Springfield, about 70 miles from Champaign. He went to Oklahoma State. He got hurt out there. He lost his job. He came back. He transferred in last year, and he was on the scout team. And you could see then, it's like, wow, this guy is different than anything we've had previously. And that's no knock on Juice Williams or Nathan Chelios. You've seen them play. They compiled each 10,000 yards of offense in their careers. But he's just a different classic, you know, drop back passer. He's got an unbelievable touch, unbelievable accuracy, and he struggled a little bit last week against Iowa. That was his first game in over a month, and the timing looked a little off. And hopefully, for Illinois' sake, you'll have that back next week. But he's your prototypical 6'5". How's the old commercial go? Rocket arm. He looks the part. That's for sure.
No question, and a lot of guts. He breaks his fibula, comes back and still plays. Two parts of this, Brian. A, the respect that he's earned from his teammates because he's doing that, but B, the ultimate effect of his movement in the pocket.
Yeah, well, he even before he had the fibula injury, he wasn't all that mobile, so I don't think it's changed that much from where he was before. And it wasn't like a complete break of the leg. It was a slight fracture of his leg. So, but you know, he's earned his teammates' respect for coming back. You know, he could have, said, "Hey, let's just sit out the rest of this year and then start next year." And we fortunately for Illinois, Steve, Illinois had two bye weeks in the span of about 4 weeks. And so, even though he was going to be out originally 4 to 5 weeks, two of those weeks were spent during bye weeks. So that kind of helped his return. But having him back out there, there was a different vibe in practice for the receivers. And again, that's no knock on Riley O'Toole or Aaron Bailey, but there's a reason that the West won the job in the spring and in the fall. And I think the receivers were pretty excited to have him back, as was the entire team.
When they have used Riley O'Toole, who's played against Penn State before, and Aaron Bailey, what are some of the differences that Bill Cuba can use when they're in the game as opposed to what he can't do with Wes?
Well, what he had to do, Steve, was when Riley O'Toole came in after Wes Lunt got hurt, he had to start the next week. And basically, against Wisconsin, they put in an option read, option running game, which, you know, was totally different from what Wes Lunt does. He is not a running quarterback, and Riley is. He's not the fastest guy in the world, but he's more mobile than Wes. And that option game, Wisconsin had no clue that was coming, and so he kept them off balance with that. Riley was a very successful high school quarterback. He doesn't quite have the arm that Wes does, but he's a very good backup quarterback. He's loved by his teammates. He's the best man, or was the best man, at Nathan Chelios's wedding, so he and Nathan were very close. And again, his teammates really like having him around. And then Aaron Bailey is a kid who was on a state title team at Bolingbrook up in northern Illinois near Chicago. And he's a guy that's probably one of the best five athletes on the team. And he ran. He was our leading rusher in Wisconsin. He came in the fourth quarter of that ball game, and he's a guy they can use in short distance situations. And they've talked. I mean, fans have talked. Other people have talked about using Aaron Bailey as a wide receiver, a running back, but he wants to play quarterback. And so You know, he insists on doing that. He's a great kid, too. But he gives them – he's probably a better athlete than Riley O'Toole. There's no doubt about that. But kind of also can run that option keeper, which is different than what Wes Lunt does.
You have, Brian, one of the truly outstanding freshman wide receivers in Mike Dudek. You see him every day and in every game. What makes him a special player?
Well, for one thing, he catches everything in sight. We saw him in camp, and we had gotten a little inkling from Mike Bellamy, if you remember him, when he played at Illinois. He's our receivers coach. And he told, apparently what I was told was Mike told Dudek, Mike Dudek, that you may wind up being the all-time leading reception guy in Illinois history. And Mike Bellamy's thing for recruiting, because he wasn't that highly recruited, but he had, you know, they had seen him play a little bit. And I think that when Mike Dudek got the offer from Illinois, he took it because he didn't have a lot of offers. But they told him that he might be the all-time receiving leader at Illinois. And he said, why have this guy catch 200 passes against us? Let's have him catch them for us. But he's lightning fast. He runs tremendous routes. He can go short or long, and once he catches it, it's like the Roadrunner in the desert. I mean, he is so fast. He runs a 4.3, I think, or something 40. He's not very big. When you look at him, if you see him without pads, it's like this guy plays football, and he's got a tremendous vertical leap, and he has just been a huge asset for us. He broke Regis Benn, Aurelius Benn's freshman record. Blew by it a couple weeks ago, and he's going to get close to 1,000 yards this year as a freshman, which is pretty amazing.
And no question about that. A junior college transfer, it's also a wideout, Geronimo Allison. Did his game suffer when Wes Lunt was out?
It did, and it was too bad because he had his biggest games this year, Steve, have come at Washington against a really good, you know, a pretty good Washington team on the West Coast. And at Nebraska, he went for like 160 at Washington yards, a couple of touchdowns. He received 118 yards, 120 at Nebraska. He's definitely, if you look at our big play chart, Lunt Allison early in the season, that was almost his favorite receiver. And to just stretch the field a little bit, Riley O'Toole didn't have quite the skill set to get it to Geronimo deep on deep patterns like that, and then also the same way with Aaron Bailey. So, yeah, I think we missed the vertical passing game. It was more of an option read, short pass type game when Wes was out. And hopefully Geronimo, who's a very good junior college player that came in, he was one of the highly touted receivers in junior college. He and Lunt just seemed to click a lot, and hopefully they can get that back.
We're with Brian Barnhart, the outstanding play-by-play voice of Illinois football. We've been talking about the offensive side of the ball, and two names that will be very familiar to Penn State fans. Once again, it's still Josh Ferguson and Donovan Young when it comes to the tailback spot. Give me the value, Brian, of Josh Ferguson, not just as a running back, but how they utilize him coming out of the backfield.
Well, you may remember, Steve, Ty Douthard, who played at Illinois. He set the all-time record at Illinois for receiving yards by a running back. And that was about 1,250, I think, was the number of yards. And Josh is getting close to 1,200 receiving yards, and he's got a year to go. So he's so versatile. He explodes in the open field. And so they try to get him the football as many times as they can with swing passes or screen passes, bubble screens or whatever, trying to get him involved. And so he's a kind of a dual threat. I think there's two guys in the country with the number of yards receiving in their career and the number of rushing yards over 1,000 for each, and I think the other guy's out at Arizona State, so he's in a pretty rare company. Donovan Young is more of your north-south short yardage guy, you know, around the goal line. You'll see Donovan Young. They've tried to get him over the years to be more of a north-south runner, and he's just more effective that way. He's not the side-to-side runner and the cutback runner that Ferguson is.
Well, I think Ty Douthard played, 20 years ago? He scored the first touchdown in the infamous drive game for Penn State in that 94 game for Lou Tepper.
Is that right? Yeah. Well, yeah. His name
if
is...
If he wore number 7, or number 7,
stat,
he was the number one back then.
It's about to disappear, though.
Yeah, I think it is, too. We know what Penn State's offensive line situation has been. We've outlined that. Every Penn State fan watches it on an everyday basis. They don't realize that Illinois has an offensive line situation where, let's face it, Todd Beckman's had to be, I think, clever as to how they've had to do things.
Yeah, they've had to move things around, and I know you and I have talked during the year about, you know, Penn State's offensive line and the depth issues they faced, and that's been Illinois' case. They lost Teddy Karras. of the famous Karras family, that the different Karrases that have played in around in football for years. And Ted was a real leader. If there was a guy that was a vocal leader on the offensive line, he got hurt a couple weeks ago against Ohio State, so they really miss him at right guard. And then Simon Savanovich got dinged up as well in the Ohio State game, and he's still trying to recover from that at left tackle. So, you know, last week against Iowa, we ran a redshirt freshman and a sophomore at the two tackle spots in Christian DeLauro and Austin Schmidt. So, you know, you're pretty young on that important tackle spot. And then they've had to juggle things around at center. Joe Spencer played a little bit of guard last week. They like him better at center. Alex Hill has been a center, but he'll be a guard, and Michael Heights in there too. So, and they've got a couple of guys who have played behind those guys. But yeah, they've got some really good offensive linemen that they're redshirting, but they obviously don't want to use if they don't have to, and they're trying to get by until the end of the year with the guys they have. But they do miss Savanovich, who was a big left tackle last week, and they miss Teddy Karras. So it's been a work in progress.
No question. The defensive side of the ball, unfortunately for Illinois, there are a lot of rankings that start out and say 14. Well, there are only 14 teams in the league. Why the problem there?
Yeah, and that's a good question. Because I think they've got some better talent. A guy like Jahan Ward on the defensive line. Mason Monheim is second to your guy, Mike Hall, in tackles in the Big Ten with nearly 100. T.J. Neal has developed into a really good linebacker in the middle. V'Angelo Bentley and Eaton Spence and Zane Petty and these guys in the secondary basically had to learn under fire the last year or two as freshmen, and so they've developed into a decent secondary and haven't really given up a lot of big plays. But against some of the really good running teams, the Melvin Gordons of Wisconsin, the Amir Abdullahs of Nebraska, those guys have just basically run over the Illinois defense. And I don't know if it's schematic, I don't know if it's just, heft at the line of scrimmage, where they're just moving us out of the way. And we had guys, for a while there in some of those games, Steve, we would, how it is, guys try to, they've got this gap they're supposed to protect or the job they're supposed to do, and they panic and they think, okay, I got to help my other guy out, and then everything kind of breaks down. And so they've just had some real issues with that. They did very well against Minnesota. They strung out David Cobb. He had 100 yards for the day, but 61 of that on one run, and he didn't do much, and they stripped him at the end of the game for a fumble and a touchdown run in by Bentley. So the run game has been a problem, but part of that, and this goes hand in hand, as you know, with the offense. If you look at the stats for Illinois' offense, Illinois' last in the league in time of possession, last in the league, I think, in third downs, and last in the league in red zone offense. And so, the offense, can be good with the passing game, but man, you got to, help your defense out a little bit. And they had some big turnovers in Ohio State and Nebraska and games like that that have just put them behind the eight ball real fast. And so, yes, the defense does struggle, but the offense has got to help them too.
Right. It's always a domino as to how that plays out. You mentioned, Brian, in that answer about T.J. Neal at middle linebacker. That allowed them to move Mason Monheim to the outside. Took Ernest Thomas from a safety and moved him to the outside linebacker, and he's been a playmaker. How confident are they in that three-man linebacking group they have?
Oh, they like it. And I think Penn State and Illinois both have had, great linebackers over the years. It's been kind of a... Yep. Nice development spot for that position. So, yeah, and what they do is they've got a Leo position and they've got a star. Ernest Thomas has been in the secondary in previous years, and it's kind of a hybrid linebacker, a defensive back, and then also a Leo where they move guys around. Guys like DJ Smoot, you're going to like him. He's a really talented kid that's come on where they play either defensive line. So they might line up with three defensive linemen, then they'll move a guy up on the line for a fourth, move those guys around. DeJazz Woods is another one. So that's what's been a little surprising to me, is because they've got some pretty good individual talent. They just, as a team defense, have just not been effective, especially up front. And the other weird stat, Steve, is that Illinois is like near the top of the league in tackles for loss, but at the bottom in sacks. So it's kind of an interesting stat.
That is different. D'Angelo Bentley, tell me a little bit about him in the return game. He's not only a really good corner, I thought he was a big reason why Illinois won the Minnesota game, but what about the return part of it and the difference he makes there?
Well, and you've had some guys, I think, at Penn State that have been this way where, every time they get the kick, it's like you potentially could hit a home run. He's just that good. Well over 20 yards a kick on the kick returns. He's I forget what he is now, second or third, I think, in the country in combined kick yards. He's approaching Pierre Thomas's old record for a kickoff return yardage and is courageous. He just has great cutback ability, good vision. He's a real threat every time, and teams do kick it to him a lot. And even though at times on punts we have double safeties back there with Ian Darius Mosley, he hasn't hit as many big home runs in the kicking return game this year because obviously he's at the top of the scouting report. But he's just a threat to go every time he gets it, and you know, we've needed him to do that because for several years we struggled in the return game, and he's been a huge boost in that area.
Yeah, probably since Regis Benn, because Benn was unbelievable when he returned kicks. One final question, Brian, then I'll let you go with Brian Barnhart, the outstanding play-by-play voice of Illinois football. That deals with the kicking game. Justin Dubin was a punter, has been off the charts, 44.8, 17 kicks over 50 yards. But then there's the place-kicking game. How much of a mystery has that been?
Yeah, it's been a real mystery. If you figure it out, let me know, because we're up close to it. I know your guy, Sam Ficken, he's been terrific. You know, this year and game tying and game winning field goals. And right now, I mean, if it's fairly close, you know, Illinois has struggled in the kicking game. And, you know, Tim Beckman has been a tryout basically every week. And we just haven't kicked that many. I think we're 2 for 6 for the year with a long of 25. And that's been the real mystery because Taylor Zaleski won the job last year and did a pretty good job. But something happened early in the season and he just never mentally got it back. And then David Reisner's a young man that came on and kind of won the job eventually, and now they're splitting the duties, kickoff and Zaleski kicking off and Reisner kicking field goals. But that's been a real head-scratcher there because it just hasn't panned out this year. Duvernois really struggled as a freshman, and I think Illini fans kind of got down on him early in his career, and then he just slowly worked his way into being a tremendous punter. He doesn't do a rugby-style kick, you know, where they roll it right and kick it, but he's kind of an in-between type motion, and boy, has he taken off this year, and it's been routinely 49, 54 yards on his kicks, great placement inside the 20. No matter where you want it, he can just basically, like a great golfer, kind of put the ball wherever he wants it, and he's approaching. He's right, I think, at about 44.8 yards, and Steve Weatherford is the all-time yardage average as a punter at Illinois, and you know the career he's had in the NFL. He was about 45-4, so Duvernois is on pace potentially to have that record to himself.
Brian, always a pleasure. I can't wait to see you on Saturday.
Hey, it'll be good to see you, Steve, and hopefully the weather won't be too bad. It might be a little wet, but we'll see.
Yeah, I saw that. Hey, thanks so much for the time, Brian.
Hey, very good, Steve. Keep up the good work. Thanks.
Brian Barnhart, the outstanding play-by-play voice of Illinois football. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Hey, by the way, Sunbury Motors, 99 years of absolute excellence, and Kevin's driving vehicles.
The 2014 Ford Edge is what we've been featuring this week. And if you want to see more about this particular vehicle, you can follow me on Twitter at Kevin Herr or check out Facebook with Kevin Herr, and then you'll be able to see the vehicle with the picture and link up to all the information. And this weekend, you'll be able to drive it all by yourself because it'll be back to Sunbury Motors tomorrow afternoon. But one of the things you'll get is all-wheel drive. Plus, you'll have the ability to save tons of money with cash back and 0% financing or 0% financing up to 60 months. You know what that means, Steve? That means free money.
Love it.
Free money, and you'll have an all-wheel drive vehicle that you'll be able to haul the kids, the Christmas presents, the tree, and everything else this holiday season. Check it out at Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And the heated seats will keep you nice and toasty warm all winter long.
And you need them more than ever, my man.
You know it.
Bob. Unreal, Bob. Kevin's jumped into another broadcast. Now, I mean, to walk around the station and say, don't worry, I'll save it. What does that mean? They've been great all year.
Actually, I don't think I said I'll save it. I said I'll get it going. No, that's not it either.
I'm quoting Sean Carey and Drew Kelly. Skip going through. Don't worry, I'll save it.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And I'm very pleased for the first time to have him on the show, and this will be far from the last. A guy I can have... You can easily call a good friend that we work every week on the Blue White Tailgate TV show together, Todd Sadowski. Todd, my friend, it is great to finally have you on.
Steve, it's great to hear from you. Look, it's your world. Thanks for inviting me in for a few minutes. Love it.
You can see we're off to a great start.
I was going to say, hey, long-time listener, first-time call-in guest. I love it. I'm good. Good to go.
That was one of my favorite Bill O'Briens. Longtime listener, first time caller. He did that one time, which was good. We work on this show every single week, and I just feel like the show, you know, we brought in Trey Bauer this year, has really caught some rhythm, don't you think?
Well, work is a relative term, Steve. When you get as many laughs in as we get in during that time frame, it's hard to call it work. But yes, it is great. You know, Trey's been a lot of fun to work with, and it's funny because most of the time, like, I look forward to the entire show, but I look forward to the last segment of the show almost as much as anything. Not because it's almost over, only because Trey's just he's so much fun to talk about with matchups around college football. He just doesn't care about anything other than Penn State.
He sits there, and I deliberately did this weekend, you know, in the sequence, because we've already taped the show this week. I deliberately gave him Minnesota-Nebraska instead of giving him a game that I gave you a couple games that had some pretty good meat to it. And because I knew he'd look at it and say, I don't care.
Right.
I don't care.
Well, anytime a defense gives up over 400 yards rushing to one individual, it's hard to break them down the week after that. The Cornhuskers, oh my goodness, that was ugly.
So like the movie with Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines running scared. He says, "You gave that to one guy." Well, I feel like the Nebraska. We gave up 408 yards to one guy. One guy.
I'm surprised Pelini made it through that game. It was he was furious.
Yeah, he's very serious. Penn State football. Every week, you bring a different perspective because you're down on the field as this happens, working with your station in York. And as you watch it on field level, what are some things that strike you that are getting better for Penn State?
Number one, top of the list, Steve, is speed. And Coach Franklin talked about he wanted to improve team speed. We saw that in the secondary. It's no more evident than in the young players that are getting a lot of playing time in the secondary. You know, he brought that SEC recruiting mentality and just that mentality in general. We need to improve team speed all over the field. And I think it's the easiest place to do that is to get the young guys in the defensive secondary onto the field. Now, of course, they're going to look a lot quicker when the quarterback is pressured like our defensive line is doing so this year. But that's the number one thing that strikes me is just how much faster the defense is on the field. You know, number two, you know, look, there was a great second half, but we can't forget about the first half and can't forget about what's been happening all year long is you know, the issues moving the line of scrimmage the first half of the season and how that improved the other day and how hopefully that's just going to continue to improve the rest of this season and certainly beyond.
Todd, as you went into the locker room afterward or into the media room afterward and had a chance to talk with the players, in particular Miles Diefenbach, what was the sense you got from the players that Diefenbach and Smith were back together again and what it can mean?
collective sigh of relief, you know, and it's not just, you know, from the running backs that have a little bit more room to run. It's not just from the guys that are just playing, Donovan and Miles. Obviously, they're happy to be together on that left side. It's the other offensive linemen, too, that we've talked about this all year long. It's having that senior or someone with experience that they can look to in the moments of panic or the moments that they need somebody that they can read off of to settle down. And Miles is that perfect guy anyway to do that. He's just, you know, he's got such a great personality. But, you know, just that calming effect on the field as things maybe weren't going right, you can look to say, hey, don't worry about it. Pick up this guy. We'll get it on the next play. And I think, you know, to have that wealth of knowledge to go to is really something that the young offensive linemen have needed all season.
With my good friend and co-host Todd Sadowski from Blue White Tailgate Show, seen in Wilkes-Barre, Harrisburg, the Harrisburg-York area, and obviously here in State College as well. Todd, when you've watched Christian Hackenberg, and you bring that great perspective, you're down on the field. So when you watch him, what are you seeing from him?
What I'm seeing, Steve, is a guy that has been hit almost more than any other quarterback in the country this year, it seems like, certainly in the Big Ten. You know, it's hard to remember he threw for over 400 yards game one, and I think there's been that effect, that cumulative effect for him, you know, where his feet may just aren't quite as anchored as they should be on a throw that gets away. Some of the body language is a little better the last couple of weeks. You know, we know it got away from him a few weeks ago, but you know, he's tapping some helmets, he's trying to stay on top of guys and stay encouraging. You know, I look at the examples like when he's rolling out. And, you know, he's being pressured, but maybe it's a designed rollout, and he has a half second to just stop, plant his feet, and make maybe a little bit more of an accurate throw, and then but continues to run and try and make that throw. One time it's accurate, the next time it's not. You know, those things are going to – he's going to get more comfortable in that pocket again as he can trust his offensive line a little bit more. But that's the one thing. Look, I mean, look at his completion percentage this past weekend. You know, 12 of 26, or his yards per attempt, yards per completion, all those numbers have regressed as the year went on, and I think that's that cumulative effect of being knocked around in the pocket and understanding you've got only a limited amount of time to get rid of that football.
Two and a half years ago, if I were to tell you that they will have won 21 games with two to play in the 2014 season over a two-and-a-half-year span, would you have believed it?
No way. No way. It is unbelievable, you know, to see them 6-4 this year, to have the wins they had, you know, the last couple of seasons. It's really one of the great coaching jobs and just, you know, that I can remember in college football. And there's been programs we see go up and down, but what Coach O'Brien did, you know, Coach Franklin's brought a new energy to it. It's tremendous to see it. The kids in the stands, the kids on the field deserve to see, you know, some good winning moments. I think that's what I enjoy the most about the victory the other day, is just seeing the smiles on the faces and that, you know, just enjoying the game. It is a game. Remember, Steve? You know, I mean, it's a game, and so many of us take it seriously because you want to dissect it. What's going right? What's going wrong? But there are moments. I love when the clock's ticking down, and there's been a few over the years, the last decade, that I've just stopped, didn't worry about getting an interview, didn't worry about talking to somebody's reaction, and just, you know, we get to walk on the field and just watch the kids enjoy the victory, and that was certainly one of those moments the other day.
For you, when the game's over, and sometimes you'll see that scramble at the game, what's that like at the end for you, you know, trying to get in there, maybe get a word from somebody, then try and get in the media room? Explain how that process happens and then the process it takes to actually get the report on.
Well, Coach Franklin put the kibosh on post-game interviews for us this year.
Yeah,
in years
sure
past,
did.
We've been able to jump out and, you know, maybe grab one of the guys and see if, you know, it's nice to get the immediate reaction. I certainly understand where Coach Franklin's coming from. He wants to get the guys together as a unit to do the alma mater, be together with the student body and all that type of stuff. But those moments right after the game that are nice and raw, you know, that emotion is great to see on the kids. It's great to get the reaction. I remember Ryan Kaiser had the interception to secure a win last year. Just having a chance to talk to him about that and just the joy in their faces. And it is kind of a mad scramble. And, you know, the one thing I try to coach, sometimes we'll have a young photographer with me, is, look, just execute the interview we're on before you move on to the next one. Because your eyes, you know, you see all this craziness and chaos behind you. You just got to kind of concentrate, get in a couple of questions, and move on to the next one. And one of the nice things about being in the York, Harrisburg market, Lancaster, and that is we'll have kids from other teams come in, too. Of course, you know, Coach Edsel with Maryland didn't want to see the Terrapins win that game, but he's a York County guy, so we had a chance to talk to him and a couple of players that are on the Maryland roster. Jalen Fitzpatrick's a Harrisburg kid. You know, they lost last week, but we had a chance to talk to him afterwards. And so those are nice raw moments, Steve, that we get a chance to be with the kids. And then certainly, you know, we do get plenty of opportunities to talk to the student athletes and the players after the game for Penn State.
We're with Todd Sadowski, who is also the co-host of Blue White Tailgate Show that's seen in most of the eastern part of the state, as well as, of course, his work in Harrisburg, Lancaster, and York on Channel 43 as well. Todd, you know, the Penn State defense, you know, we've talked about what they've done over and over. When you watch Mike Hull play, what do you see in his play and then talking to him afterward?
He's the consummate leader. I mean, how many guys have we seen, Steve, come through Penn State at the linebacker position and just do it continually, time after time? Not the most physically intimidating guy. You'll look at him when you're interviewing him after the game and you go, how is he involved in double-digit tackles once again when you see all the space eaters that are out there on the field that are trying to take him out of the play? You know, his lateral movement makes him special. You know, when we're down on the field, and of course you're up top, so I love that view. You get up top, you see how the play develops and that. When we're down on the field, and I'll even look at the footage afterwards, you know, we're in pretty tight on what's going on. And, you know, he had an interception a couple weeks ago, and I guess it was the Ohio State game, but you can see it from behind JT Barrett's viewpoint, okay? And you see Mike Hull take a couple-step drop. You see his eyes move with Barrett to the left and back to the right, and he instinctively saw the pass coming across the middle before Barrett even threw it. And then he reached up, snagged it, and brought it back the other way. And it's a joy to watch. Now, that doesn't happen your first year. You're talking about a student of the game, somebody that has learned that behavior and those tendencies, and he's studying really hard. And it's a pleasure to watch those kind of guys and just play some real defense. You know, as we talked about the other day with the show, there's a lot of teams not playing defense across the country, and I love offense as much as anybody, but it is a real pleasure to see the Nittany Lions do what they do defensively.
You're also in a very passionate area in York that loves Penn State football. In fact, the first ever Penn State golf tournament to benefit the Nittany Lion Club is the York Golf Tournament. Joe went down to the first one back in the 70s. That's how passionate they are. How have they been able to ride through the last two-plus years with everything that's gone on?
Well, it's a loyal fan base. It's been rocky, no doubt about it. But, you know, every time we make that drive coming up 322, the horns are honking at us. You know, they see the marked vehicle coming up there. And, you know, it's good to see that our region still coming up there in our area and everybody's still passionate about Penn State football. I think, you know, Coach O'Brien did a lot to maintain the enthusiasm. You know, Adam Brenneman is from our area. He committed early and stayed true to his word to get up there from Cedar Cliff High School near Harrisburg, and Christian Hackenberg's commitment. You know, I think when it's all said and done in another year or two, those guys in that class really staying committed. You know, the coaches can say one thing, but it's really the players that kept themselves together and really kept the talented recruiting class together to get those victories. So, you know, and I think that's something that we've always tried to stress down in our area and stay on top of is, you know, the local kids that stay committed and the local families that roll through. You know, it's generational. How many generations have come through, played for Joe and the players and the families, and they continue to hand down those season tickets year after year.
Todd, what I always like to ask people when they come on the show is, you know, and you work hard, whether it's for your local station, the community involvement, coming up and doing the show with us. What is it about the job that you just enjoy that makes you want to get out there and get going every day?
Well, I enjoy seeing people perform at the top level. And it doesn't matter if it's at high school, if it's at college, it's at the NFL. You know, the one thing that's great about our market is, you know, it's divisive in the sense that we've got a lot of, you know, the York, Harrisburg, Lancaster, Lebanon, you know, all those different areas. But we get to cover so much. I mean, it's Penn State football is kind of that one team that really brings everybody together. But I've been to the Super Bowl with the Eagles, with the Steelers, with the Ravens. You know, we've been on bowl trips, high school football championships. It's really the versatility, the variety. It's awesome because I've always been someone. I played a lot of sports growing up. Always enjoyed changing the seasons and changing the sports. And I would say that's probably the top of the list. It's just the variety that you get to cover. I mean, you get to go right from football to basketball. Yeah, how much fun is it to go to the Big Ten arenas? Around what's going on. And so for me, that's really what I enjoy the most: seeing people perform at their top level, the best moments of their lives, and then also having that variety of all the seasons.
Well, this is one great pro and a lot of fun to work with and a good friend. And it's great to have you finally on the show. This will be the first of many. Todd, thanks so much for the time you carved out today.
Awesome, man. I appreciate it. Anytime, Steve. Talk to you soon.
Todd Sadowski, my good friend from Blue White Tailgate Show, as well as the work he does at Channel 43, Harrisburg, York, Lancaster. Covers the team all the time and really is great to work with. And you know what? The key with him being on the TV show, and Bob, you can appreciate this very, very much, is that we invited him to do it.
Is that right?
He didn't just show up and say, hey, look, put me on.
Imagine that.
It's a different way of working, Bob. It's a different way of working.
It is. Unlike me, who just started showing up and never left.
Bob, you're invited. It's, you know... And for those who wish to look up Interloper.
Yeah.
All right. Hey. So we will go.
Isn't that an animal in Africa?
It is. That's
an antelope. Yeah, we'll come back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. So, Bob, I'm talking to Ryan Brand and Pat O'Brien.
Oh, how soon is this show over?
And Drew Kelly and Sean Carey. So, you know, the five of us are just chit-chatting. I tried to get you on the phone, and you were busy at the time. And I said, so how did it happen? I said, well, he walked into the room, I guess, and he put down all of his state awards and said, I'm on. Now, I don't really, you know, I mean, that kind of power play is just, I find,
that's really.
I don't believe I used the, I don't think I wielded the title around at all, but.
I find it to be abhorrent. So.
No, he just, you know, in the military, there are people, Steve, in the military, there are people known as ring knockers. And what that means is. A ring knocker is a guy who went to one of the service academies.
Do I have to hit the delay on this, Bob?
No, you're making me nervous.
No.
And they have the
I know where he's
the
going.
Ring from West Point or Annapolis.
And
they come into the meeting room in the military and they just tap the ring on the table to let everybody know that they're an academy grad and you know everybody else isn't.
Well, you know where I got that from House of Cards.
Yes.
For him to walk in and basically say, look, I'm the king. Well, okay, Your Highness. And he's on the broadcast.
He is. But you know what? He's going to be freezing his proverbial buns down in Johnstown.
This is where the heated seat thing comes in. He'll be fine.
Yeah, going out and coming back. But for that 2.5 hours.
I know.
He's going to. You know what he's going to do? That famous broadcast of the Green Bay Packers, the Frozen Tundra.
You know, I love high school football so much. I don't even care that it's going to be 11 degrees. I just want to see. This is going to be a football game that should be very entertaining and fun to watch.
And I'm looking forward to the call of Pat O'Brien and Ryan Brand.
Yeah, so am I.
Eagle 107.
I'll be listening to them the entire game.
And by the way, we have now given your sideline job more juice.
Yeah, but not in a positive way.
Oh, come on. Are you kidding? People will be listening now to hear it. Come on.
Hey Steve, a quick...
I know how to promote things, believe me.
A quick aside about Sealands Grove football. Last week in the game against Jersey Shore, they dedicated the game to one of their own, a guy by the name of Ryan Kaiser.
That's right.
And good news about Ryan is he got out of the hospital... Back up in State College, was with the team Tuesday night, I think, and maybe Wednesday, and all of that is great news.
Yep. Hey, Bob, great to hear you. Kevin, great to hear you. Tomorrow, we're going to have Josh Moyer, ESPN.com, Mark Brennan, Fight on State, Timbo and Blue White Illustrated, and the Hockey Hall of Famer, the great broadcaster of the Pittsburgh Penguins, Mike Lang, will join us tomorrow on the show. Coming up next, Nittany Lion basketball, Lauren Crispell, Dick Girardi from Charleston as they take on the 49ers of Charlotte. Talk to you tomorrow here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.